The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
There is no one here who can establish whether or not this picture was in fact taken August 22nd, 2023, and any 12-year-old can create that graphic on a computer.
Your Honor, this lawyer is suggesting that me, an officer of this court, has somehow doctored a picture when I've offered to go over to the home right now and look at the kitchen and it'll look exactly like that. Why would somebody who has an obligation as a prosecutor to find the truth try to prevent the truth from coming out? This is an evidence. The picture's in evidence already. The court's allowed now the picture in evidence that shows when it was taken. I would allow.
I am not trying to impugn anyone's character. I am acting as a prosecutor and a rule follower, and I expect to do that here so no misimpressions are left with the court.
This is allowed in evidence.
Thank you, Your Honor. Overruled. Now, you care about the truth, don't you, Drew?
Yes, sir.
And you want the truth to come out, don't you?
I believe it has to.
Yes, it's important, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And now we see that the picture of the Paxton home, we can see that there were no work done on the countertops, can't we?
Yes, we can.
We can see that there was no work done in the cabinetry, can't we?
Yes, sir.
Pretty clear, isn't it?
From those images, yes.
Accusing someone of bribery for accepting granite countertops and new cabinetry is a very serious allegation, isn't it?
I would agree.
And you understand that Mr. Paxton, General Paxton, has no obligation to prove anything, right? He's being accused.
Yes, sir.
He didn't have to prove anything, does he?
Yes, sir.
But we've proven that the countertops were not altered in any way, haven't we?
The countertops appear to have not been altered.
That's the cabinets correct. Have not been altered in any way, have they?
It would appear that way, yes, sir.
There's everyone's favorite attorney, Tony Busby. Yes, there he is again, just ripping to shreds the case that these Rhino Republicans, these George Bush supporters, the case that they have against Ken Paxton. He took bribes. That's the AG assistant, the guy, the witness there. He's the AG's assistant who came forward and said, you know what, Ken Paxton might have taken bribes in the form of a kitchen remodel job. And yesterday we found out that that's a complete and total lie. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on this good Thursday morning, at least if you're in our time zone or out west. You can get to this show every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States at TrumpetDaily.com. Just go to TrumpetDaily.com or our website, TheTrumpet.com, and you can find the live stream for sure. Also, we've got our live stream available at the Rumble channel. Just search for The Trumpet Daily on Rumble, and then make sure that you bookmark the page and that you leave some comments, that you get involved in the live chat if you like, and always, always, always leave us the thumbs up. Leave us the rumble. It's great to have all of you with us here today. This is from Sundance, his take on. He's been following the case a lot more closely than I have, so I do have to rely on other sources to just kind of get the gist of it. But thankfully, this attorney is an excellent communicator. He keeps it simple, and you can actually understand what's at play here. Sundance writes, once again, the innuendo and supposition by Ken Paxton accusers runs into reality. It says, previously, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's personal assistant, Drew Wicker, that's who you saw there, that was the witness, his personal assistant, he used to be Ken Paxton's personal assistant. His name is Drew Wicker. He made an accusation that a Texas donor named Nate Paul funded a kitchen remodel for Paxton, a quid pro quo to sell influence. Now, in this case, selling influence is a very serious crime. That's what the Bush Republicans are teaching us in this sham of an impeachment. It's serious when you're out there peddling influence. You should be impeached for that. You should resign if you're Ken Paxton. That's what they're telling us here, these Republicans. Ken Paxton, after all, he got new countertops. Well, now we find out that that's actually a lie. He didn't even get the countertops. Says, however, during cross-examination today, Drew Wicker admitted the kitchen remodel never took place. And the actual details of the home remodel being done by Paxton was taking place after the office whistleblowers went to the FBI with their ungrounded claims. These guys, Wicker and others, they went to the FBI with this. Rumor, innuendo, gossip, lies. It was so obvious that even Joe Obama's FBI didn't run with it. And believe me, they would love to destroy Ken Paxton. But it was so obvious there's no evidence of any wrongdoing that even Barack Hussein Obama's FBI wouldn't take it up. That's right. Says Paxton's attorney, Tony Busby, showed Drew Wicker pictures of the kitchen taken 3 years ago and also taken last month. There was never any remodel work completed. This is the central point of the alleged bribery. Can I say that again? What you just saw there, this is the central point of the alleged bribery. I mean, the whole case is collapsing right before the eyes of these Bush accusers accusing Ken Paxton. It's pretty amazing. I mean, if that's their baseline for the entire impeachment, what a sham this is. But yet we've seen in recent years, haven't we, that it doesn't matter. If everything is propped up on a lie, remember Adam Schiff during the first impeachment saying, I've seen the evidence. I've seen it. And he never did show it, did he? He never did present the evidence because they didn't have it. They never had it. But here again, if influence peddling, if selling favors, political favors for cash or remodeling in return, if that's so serious, is there another case somewhere out there that maybe there actually is a mountain of evidence? Well, of course there is. Never mind the montage that we played yesterday. All of the regime media talking heads saying there's no evidence. There's plenty of it. Grabian picked up that montage, by the way, and that gave us some compliments for it. We appreciate that. Perhaps you'll see it on another show sometime today. But they're all out there in full force lying, saying that there's no evidence that Joe Biden, Traitor Joe, there's no evidence that he committed any crimes. This is from Politico back in August of 2019. So Joe Biden had declared his candidacy for president, and I think it was April of that year. This is a full, year and a half before Biden would become president. And right at this point, August of 2019, he's, in the midst of the Democrat primaries. I forget all of the opponents he was going up against. Well, Kamala Harris was one of them. She was the least popular of the lot. But as you know, Barack Obama was the one basically handpicking who he wanted to install as a puppet. And Joe Biden was the perfect puppet. But this Politico piece is titled Biden Inc. It says here, as Joe Biden runs for Democratic presidential nomination, on the argument that he can strongly appeal to the party's dwindling base of blue-collar supporters, the candidate has often made the point that he hasn't gotten rich from his decades in politics. As recently as 2009, his net worth was less than $30,000. This is Politico. This is left-wing commentary. He refers to himself as middle-class Joe and presents himself as a corrective to the system rigged by financiers and networked corporate elites. Biden's image as a straight-shooting man of the people, however, is clouded by the careers of his son and brother, that would be Jim, and of course we know about Hunter, who have lengthy track records of making or seeking deals that cash in on his name. This is not 2022 at the New York Post. This is 2019 at Politico. Politico. Interviews, court records, government filings, and news reports, however, reveal that some members of the Biden family have consistently mixed business and politics over nearly half a century, moving from one business to the next as Joe's stature in Washington grew. As his stature grew, so did the family fortune. Now this, the Bush Republicans in Texas tell us, this is a serious crime. And the Jim Biden's not getting his countertops redone. It goes far beyond that. I mean, we're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars for everyone in the Biden family. And the last line of defense that they have, those that still are out there defending Biden, is that, well, okay, the money, what CNN had this fact check. Where's the fact check? If you can pull that up, it's later in my notes. CNN says, look, okay, the family got $20 million, but, you know, we don't have any evidence that Joe Biden got any money. So they're actually, that's actually their defense now. It used to be, I had nothing to do with my son's business dealings. I knew nothing about them. I never talked to, I certainly didn't talk to his business partners. None of that. And now it's like, well, yeah, I picked up the phone and called him wherever he was at business. Because, you know, I love him. And then, too, you know, I talked to the business guys about weather. But I never personally enriched myself. Well, like that clip we played for you yesterday, the congressman, there's the CNN fact check. $20 million. It says here, Biden, the claim, Biden family and associates got $20 million through shell companies. They're picking apart a statement that Kevin McCarthy made. And then here's the facts first correction. This is true about Joe Biden's family and associates, but there's no public evidence to date that the president personally received any money. So thank you, CNN. Everyone in the Biden crime family got millions and millions of dollars, and Joe Biden got nothing. That's how he's been able to afford four or five mansions around the world on a senator's salary. It says here, in the early 2000s, before working with his uncle, Hunter had opened a lobbying practice and landed clients with interests that overlapped with Joe's committee assignments and legislative priorities. This is Politico going all the way back to the early 2000s. I mean, we know, we're hearing from James Comer and others just how much they enriched themselves while he was VP between 2009 and 2017. But this goes back a long way, a long way. It says, in the Biden's first months at the helm, Paradigm, this is a company, one of the companies that, like Rosemont Seneca, I mean, they've just been involved in all kinds of companies. They've raised up all these LLCs to launder the money. They're trying to get Ken Paxton for countertops, and that's not even true? Are you serious? It says, in the Biden's first months at the helm, Paradigm reached an arrangement with Longship Capital Management, in which Longship would serve as an investment advisor to Paradigm, according to Securities Exchange Commission filing. It says the arrangement put Jim and Hunter in business with Longship partner Brian Mathis, a veteran of the Clinton Treasury Department, and a Democratic bundler who was friends with Barack and Michelle Obama at Harvard Law School. It's all connected. They're all part of the scheme. Well, it doesn't say that literally. You have to kind of connect the dots. But this is Politico saying, do we really want Joe Biden as our nominee? Really? It says here, in March 2011, Mathis, who declined to comment, was among the roughly 30 financiers invited to a controversial White House meeting to discuss the state of the economy. The meeting was arranged by the Democratic National Committee and omitted from Obama's public schedule. No, Obama's not going to put him on the public schedule because this guy's coming in. I mean, he's a business partner for the Biden crime family. And we want him to come in and give us some advice on the economy, et cetera, et cetera. In and out of the White House. I mean, that's what Jim Comer's even turning up. all these business associates, and like Matt Gaetz says, they're not even business partners because there was no business. They were selling the family name. The title of this article in Politico, August 2019, is Biden Incorporated. It's a family business. It says here in 1972, Joe ran a scrappy campaign for Senate with his younger brother in charge of his finances. The Bidens earned a reputation for being tight-knit and fiercely loyal to one another. People called Jim the hammer, explained one future associate of his. He would hammer the table until people agreed to give money to Joe's campaign. Give us the money. That was Jim's role. A tight-knit family. This is what CNN, or actually it was a White House spokesman, said just yesterday with respect to, I mean, that's in the 70s, but with respect to the business today, it's thriving. Well, how come he was having all, I mean, he was calling in to all those business meetings with Hunter and company? Listen to how the White House spokesperson, his name is Ian Sams, how he explains this away, clip 8.
Why was the president at those meetings, on those phone calls?
Well, again, I think this is part of the right wing's misinformation machine to try to confuse people about what the truth is. The truth is that the president, as he has said publicly for years, calls his family every day to check in. He calls his son every day to check in. He calls his other family members to check in to see how they're doing. He loves them. They're a tight-knit family.
They're a tight-knit family. Same exact language that the Politico story used. They love each other. Come on now. He's just calling in to tell his son how much he loves him and then to tell the business partners how the weather is there in D.C. It says here, Politico says, no sooner was freshman lawmaker Joe Biden seated on the Senate Banking Committee than James became the beneficiary of business loans that were described in news accounts at the time as unusually generous because of the relatively large amount of money he was able to borrow with little or no collateral and a lack of relevant prior experience. Well, Joe Biden, brother, you know, Trader Joe, if he's on the Senate Banking Committee, then brother Jim, why not get some cushy loans? That's what happened. Don't believe me. I'm just quoting Politico. Says here, Hunter had more success pursuing business in Asia and Europe. After buying Paradigm, he went into business with former Secretary of State John Kerry's stepson, Christopher Hines. Here comes a Kerry. Who do we have so far? We've got Clintons, Kerry, Obama, Michelle and Barack, and then, of course, the Bidens. And Hines' friend, Devin Archer. Well, how about that? We've had testimony from Devin Archer saying, yeah, I mean, we were selling influence. Said as much to Tucker in that sit down as well. Hunter and Archer were eager to land business in China. China, the CCP. And they got Paxton on countertops. Finally. Countered, if he redid his counters, then he should resign in disgrace. It says here they were eager to land business in China in late 2013. This is while Joe is VP. It says Hunter traveled with his father to Beijing, where the vice president was set to meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping. While there, Hunter introduced one of his business partners, Jonathan Lee, of the Beijing-based private equity firm Bohai Capital, to his father, according to the New Yorker. You know what's just crazy about this? What's infuriating about this is that everyone knows. They all know. Politico knew in 2019. And now they have the audacity to get out there, all of them, in unison, practically, saying there's no evidence. There's no evidence of any crimes. There's no evidence of any wrongdoing. Ari Melber, he's either MSNBC or CNN, he invited Matt Gaetz on, and Gaetz dropped a bit of a truth bomb on that program last night, clip 6.
The high crime and misdemeanor to me is bribery. I mean, when you've got Joe Biden participating in 16 meetings with Hunter Biden's business partners, and you can't even really call them that. They're just more like bribe payers because there was no business. And then to watch the White House shift its position pretty substantially from, I never talked to my son about his business deals, to, well, I wasn't in business with my son. It's quite the tell that there's a lot going on here. Yep. And I also look at the government actions. Everybody talks about the bribes paid, but I look at what people got for those bribes. The Chinese were plowing in a lot of this money, and in exchange, in one of his first acts, Joe Biden dissolved the China initiative at the Department of Justice that President Trump had set up to go after Chinese malign influence. So the bribe payers were getting theirs, the Biden were getting theirs.
Let me jump in here, and I let you give that answer there. We're not going to litigate all of this right now, but is your bribery case strong if you don't have any bribery convictions against Mr. Biden? Hunter Biden faces other allegations, but not that. And against the sitting president when there's an open special counsel probe that hasn't found it. How do you bring a bribery impeachment without any bribery convictions?
Because Joe Biden controls the Department of Justice, and because credible whistleblowers have come forward and said that DOJ officials were actually stopping the investigative work as they were building the cases that could lead to prosecutions on these matters, I don't think that that is the gold standard. I think that we can develop the evidence. We have our own Article 1 powers that are not lashed to a criminal prosecution or a determination by an Article 3 court, and we're fully vested with the ability to bring accountability if we are sufficient.
Understood
and rigorous.
Now, I got to at least give credit to Melber for letting him talk. But notice he asks him, how do you bring forth a bribery impeachment when there's been no bribery convictions? And Gates says, well, there's no bribery convictions because we're talking about Joe Biden's DOJ. It's actually Obama's. But these whistleblowers are coming forward testifying that we've been handcuffed. We haven't been able to investigate the bribery scheme because it's been squashed by Joe Obama's DOJ. Bribery is enough, says Gates. I mean, this is the high crime and misdemeanor. The White House came out with basically marching orders to the regime media saying, look, you better go after Republicans on this impeachment thing. You better dig up some dirt on Republicans. This is your White House contacting the regime media, the propaganda arm of Barack Obama, and giving them marching orders. And here these people like Melber and others think that they're, you know, they're independent journalists, that they're fighting for the little man, that they're exposing government corruption. They're covering it up. But as you saw there from that exchange, it's impossible to do at this point because it's just been an avalanche of evidence, a mountain of evidence. This Politico piece, just to finish this, it says, since his father left office, Hunter has cultivated a relationship with the Chinese billionaire Yi Zhimin. Hunter told The New Yorker the pair had partnered on a natural gas venture in Louisiana and that Yi had once gifted him a large diamond. Happens all the time. But hey, if Hunter got a diamond, Kim Paxton got some countertops. Hunter also dealt with Yi's deputy, Patrick Ho. In November 2017, federal agents in New York arrested Ho on suspicion of bribing government officials in Chad and Uganda. This is one of Hunter's business associates. The feds nabbed him for bribing government officials in Chad and Uganda. Says Ho's first call, according to the New York Times, was to Jim Biden, who told the paper Ho had been trying to reach Hunter. He got caught, he's in jail, and he calls Hunter and Jim. He calls the Biden crime family. Hey, I need some help here. I need to get out of jail here. I need to get out of jail free card like you guys always get. As I say, the avalanche of evidence. It's impossible to conceal. Listen to CNN as they very tactfully point out this president, he seems to lie a lot. Clip 2.
This president has a pattern at this point of either inventing or embellishing stories about his own past, his biography. He did it 3 times in one speech last month alone. He claimed he had witnessed a bridge collapse in Pittsburgh when he actually showed up about 6 hours later. He claimed that his grandfather had died just days before he was born himself at the same hospital. In fact, his grandpa died more than a year before in a different state, not the same hospital. And he also repeated a favorite false story that I and others have debunked over and over again about a supposed conversation with an Amtrak train conductor he was friends with, who was actually deceased at the time the conversation would have had to take place. And that's not all. There are some more serious ones, in my view. Previously in his presidency, he claimed at one point he'd been arrested during a civil rights protest when, in other versions of the story, he just said an officer had taken him home from a protest. He said he had visited the Pittsburgh synagogue where worshippers were killed in a 2018 mass shooting. In fact, he'd actually spoken to the rabbi, but never went. And he's made a whole bunch of others too. He said at one point, Republicans like to bring this up, he said that he used to drive a tractor trailer, used to drive an 18-wheeler. Never happened. The White House later clarified he used to drive a school bus at one point as a job briefly. School bus, of course, not an 18-wheeler. So whatever his intentions, whether it's, you know, foggy memory about stuff that's going on decades ago or deliberate embellishment, this is an unfortunate pattern that keeps coming up again and again with Joe Biden.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. A little, you know, foggy memory. Jim Acosta would get right in President Trump's face and say, why did you lie? Why won't they just come out and say it? Why don't they keep the, you know, the little liar track going on at the lower third of the screen? They kept track of everything Donald Trump supposedly lied about. But here he is going after one. Man, he's got specific. He's bringing the receipts, this guy. One by one by one by one. It's a totally false and fake narrative about himself. They lie about everything. It's routine for these people. Look at how Obama's narrative has blown up this summer. I'll get to him in a second. One lie after another. And then he says at the end, it is unfortunate, but, you know, whether he's doing it because he's got a foggy memory. Oh, okay, I'll go with foggy memory. Listen to this. This is a reporter pressing John Kirby. He's at the State Department or the Pentagon, I forget which, but they're pressing him about, again, all of Trader Joe's lies. This is clip 7.
In the past couple of weeks, the president has lied about being at Ground Zero the day after the September 11th attacks, falsely claimed he saw the Pittsburgh bridge collapse, claimed his grandfather died in the hospital days before his birth. What is going on with the president? Is he just believing things that didn't happen did happen, or is he just randomly making stuff up?
The president was deeply touched and honored to be able to spend 9/11 with military members.
He's had a string of saying things that happened, didn't things that are easily debunked. Why does he keep doing that?
The president was grateful to spend that time with those family members and those troops.
It's very helpful. Why does he keep lying? The president was grateful. Next question. They can't answer because they know it's true. Listen to this exchange. This actually is with the fake president. I don't know the reporter's name, but listen to clip 3.
Former White House aides of yours who tried to warn you about the potential conflicts of interest.
Nobody warned me about a potential conflict of interest. Nobody warned me about that. And at the same time,
George Kent, the State Department official, testified that he raised it to you.
No, he didn't say me. He did not say
to your staff.
I never
corrected.
Never heard that once.
To your staff, and their staff told him he has no bandwidth.
Well, my son was dying. I guess that's why he said it, because my son was on his deathbed.
So there you go. Bo was dying. So that's as a last resort, you got to pull that one out of your hat and excuse all of the tragedies, the crimes, everything. Well, my son was dying. I mean, some have said that's why he was calling Hunter so much in the middle of those business dealings before they'd received the millions wired to their LLCs. Because, you know, Hunter was distraught. Hunter was on crack. And he was running all these businesses around the world. These fake businesses. Isn't it perfect? They were fake business. They had no business. They had nothing to sell except for the Biden family name, except for political favors, except for changes in U.S. policy, like the China Initiative. Gates brought that out. That was set up by President Trump to rid, you know, the United States of the malign Chinese influence. And then Biden gets in there, and what's the first thing that he does? He ends it, and the CCP celebrates, and they're happy to give a few million to Hunter and Jim and Joe and the nieces and the nephews and whoever else in this sprawling crime syndicate. This is from the Trumpet magazine. If you don't have a subscription to the Trumpet, call our operators today. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. Tomorrow's news today, Joel Hilliker writes, last year, it says here, you could say we're living in the age of exposure. Staggering amounts of high-level corruption are being exposed in America and worldwide. It says, yet for as much power as the elites have, they have not been able to keep the corruption hidden. Why not? How has the truth continued to come out? He says, God is exposing it. God said that he would. And he's doing it. As I said yesterday, he's going to do it in his own special way. Don't put too much faith in impeachment proceedings. I mean, look at the one in Texas. And then now look at the one that they're inquiring about in D.C. You had Kevin McCarthy come out because he was pressured to do so. Matt Gaetz is saying we're gonna move to vacate him from the speaker's position. So he comes out. He says, yeah, we're going to have an impeachment inquiry. And then he says yesterday, it's not impeachment now. Hey, let's not get the cart ahead of the horse. This is an impeachment. I mean, we're just trying to get to the truth here. It's an inquiry. He's already backpedaling. It says here, God wants it all uncovered. Luke 12 and verse 2. This is not so you can vote differently or donate more to certain political causes or try to bring about another great awakening to turn this around. It's so you can face reality. Human beings cannot solve this. Trusting in men is what got us here. God's blowing the lid off the corruption. Not so there might be some kind of great awakening in the country, but so that we can see how that there is no solution in man. How do you solve this? How do you make peace, you know, when there's a bitter defeat in the cases of the Bush family? And then they go after Ken Paxton, try to destroy him. Chris Christie, like I said yesterday on the show, he doesn't get the job he wants from Donald Trump in 2017. And then he decides, with the snap of a finger, I'm a never Trumper. I'm a Trump hater. I'm going to do what I can to destroy Trump. How do you solve that? How do you eliminate these bad actors in the swamp? How do you bring justice to the Department of Justice, to the FBI, to all of these alphabet agencies that have become so thoroughly and completely compromised and corrupted? Isaiah was right, the prophet, that is. Isaiah the prophet said, the sickness, it goes from the top of the head all the way to the toes on the feet, head to foot. It's sick through and through. My father wrote this in 2019. This goes back to the same month that Politico piece came out. Biden Incorporated. How about that? I mean, the title says it all. It's a family business. No wonder they're tight-knit. They're all getting millions and millions and millions from it. They're tight-knit like the mafia's tight-knit. My father said, since Donald Trump became president, a dangerous level of corruption has been exposed in America's federal government. Now, it seems the harder the president's enemies work to destroy him, the more their own wicked ways are uncovered. There's that clip from Carrie Lake. this is number 11, guys. It's Carrie Lake basically explaining why the regime targeted Donald Trump so viciously early on. Play number 11. When Obama was in office, I mean, he unleashed all those alphabet agencies to target Donald Trump to spy on him and that sort of thing.
I'm starting to figure out why, because there was so much criminality going on in that White House between Biden and probably Obama and Clinton. I'm figuring out why. They were trying to keep the spotlight off of their crimes by making up crimes and accusing Trump of it.
Right.
And what happens with a news story, especially when the media is in on it, it goes around the globe over and over. They talked about Russiagate for 3 years. They dragged this good country and the good people of our country through hell for 3 years with Russiagate. And it was a lie.
Yeah.
And they did that to slow President Trump, slow his agenda, and try to destroy him.
Yeah.
But there's enough people with common sense who realize what was going on. Yeah. And I think that group is growing. And I believe Trump will win in a landslide.
That's from Tuesday's program across all of our platforms. I think it's well over 60,000 views. If you'd like to get to that show, it's not that far down on the feed. If you go to the Rumble channel, the Trumpet Daily at the Rumble channel or at Rumble. And then also TrumpetDaily.com. You can watch the full length 1 hour interview with Carrie Lake. She had some fascinating things to say. But as far as the two-pronged approach of the regime, on the one hand, they're going after Trump. It started right away. It started before Obama left office. So we know Obama, he's leading the way. He's leading the charge. He's the point of the spear when it comes to attacking America. He wants to fundamentally transform it. That was in motion there at the tail end of 2016. It's meant to destroy Trump on the one hand, and then on the other, to cover their own crimes. All of that and more is discussed in this book, America Under Attack. If you don't have a copy, make sure you call our operators. The 800 number once again, it's 1-866-930-3024. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure. Fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
If you're a regular viewer of the U.S. Report, you know that one of the big meaning of life questions we try to answer every week is just who the is running the show at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Well, now we seem to be a little bit closer to an answer. Because first things first, it is definitely not this guy. If Joe Biden isn't running things, well, who is? And whispers have been growing that the guy really pulling the strings is this man, Barack Obama. Now, observers have noted that for some time, the former president has been acting behind the scenes like, well, a bit of a string puller. After the Obama's time in the White House was over, and because being a lifetime public servant pays so well, the Obamas bought this mansion in Washington, D.C., price tag $8.1 million. Hell of a pension there. This, of course, broke with a long-standing tradition that U.S. presidents, when they're done, go home. For one thing, He was able to put his people into the executive branch because, as they say in Washington, personnel is policy. That's another way of saying that who you appoint determines how you govern. And as a result, the Biden administration is still, quite consciously and by design, loaded with Obama appointees. Many people have called it a third Obama term. More than 60% of Biden's original official cabinet were Obama appointees. But it's not just foreign policy. The division, the chaos by design, these are all hallmarks of Obama-era liberalism, and they're being replayed today.
Obama's third term. More and more people see it now, don't they? We've been talking about this for so many years. I should have brought the latest Trumpet magazine. Just came out this week, the hard copy. The title, the cover title, Who is Running the Show? There you go. Who's running the show? It's got Obama in the basement with the earpiece, just like he said with that interview. Yeah, you know, I've kind of liked the idea of running the show because I really love the work. I love the work of fundamentally transforming America into a nation that you can't even recognize. He's got the earpiece in. He's giving the marching orders to the puppet. He is the puppet master. This is a piece at American Spectator by Newt Gingrich. He says, America is now in the deepest, most dangerous constitutional crisis since the hostility in the 1850s that led to secession and civil war. Wow, that's a pretty strong intro there. Most of modern American history can only be understood within this broader system of coercion and corruption. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Joe Biden are major players. You just connect the dots, just like in that Politico piece. Everyone knows. These radical communists, they know. They know they can get away with their crimes because they control the Department of Justice, just like Matt Gaetz said. Well, how are you going to have an impeachment proceeding when there's no indictments or convictions on bribery? Well, there's no convictions because of who's in control. Says here, but they are supported by a cast of hundreds and possibly thousands of eager totalitarians ready to impose their views on the American people. These would-be coercers have been enriching themselves with impunity because they know their establishment allies will never question them or hold them to account. Yet, nevertheless, as I said in the opening segment, there still is just this avalanche pouring forth of evidence of crime, of treason. It says here, Carrie Lake, by the way, in her book said, with respect to the dear leader spying on Donald Trump, spying on an incoming president, spying on the president of the United States, she called that treason. I think she said specifically, what could be more treasonous than that? It says, importantly, McCarthy, this is further on, McCarthy focused on a January 5, 2017 meeting in which then-President Barack Obama personally coordinated the joint FBI-CIA effort to cripple and derail the Trump administration. It became clear to me, says Newt Gingrich, this was an absolute smoking gun of guilt. The incumbent president of the United States openly coordinated the law enforcement and intelligence agencies in a deliberate, methodical effort to hinder the next president of the United States. It was an act verging on treason. Well, the same language that Carrie Lake used in her book. It was treason. It is treason. Once I understood that Obama was capable of this level of viciousness and dishonesty, a lot of other things began to fall in place. See, that's a pretty interesting point there, because as long as you're swooning, you don't want to go there. You can't go there. It's impossible that he could be corrupt, that he could be this vile, this evil. You see how the devil works? They were all swooning, weren't they, for a year? Even Republicans. Our first black president. If you want to call him black, listen to this PBS. This is from 2004, a 2004 PBS segment that disappeared from the internet. Surprise, surprise. But somebody pulled it out of the archives. Clip 5.
His great uncle says he's not surprised to learn of his nephew's identity struggles.
He wasn't raised black because he was raised in a white family and raised as if he were a white boy. And I'm sure that caused all kinds of conflicts in his mind.
Half white, raised in white family, but everybody celebrated his half blackness when he was voted in, assuming he went in fair and square. Who knows how long they've been cheating? They tried to cheat in 2000. You think they would try to do it in 2004 or 2008? I mean, they've really refined the scheme going back to 2020. They pulled out all the stops. In any event, there's the man that was supposed to come in and heal the racial wounds that were left there in America because he was half black. Once I understood that Obama was capable of this level of viciousness and dishonesty, then I began to see. Then my eyes were opened. Then I could begin to understand, hey, what this actually is a fundamental transformation. This actually is a Marxist revolution. Listen to General Flynn from our interview a few weeks back, clip 14.
5 January of 2017, there was really two meetings. One, and they were in the same place, Oval Office, with Obama. One had a larger group, and then Obama sent some out, and he kept a smaller group in. And the larger group was Vice President, people like Clapper, Comey, Brennan, Susan Rice, Sally Yates. This is 5 January 2017. So the Obama administration was trying to do everything that they could to undermine everything, basically to usurp the incoming Trump administration. So that meeting in January was a meeting about me. And Obama dismissed most of the people, kept Vice President Clapper, Comey, Brennan, and Susan Rice, and Sally Yates. Sally Yates was the deputy attorney general or the acting attorney general at the time. And that's when they talked about me. And the very famous Logan Act came up, right? This thing called the Logan Act. Nobody ever heard of it. Biden is the one that recommended the Logan Act. And that was the day to me, 5 January 2017, is a sort of the official start date of the coup led by Barack Obama against the United States of America to undermine a sitting president, a duly elected sitting president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. And here we are, August 2023, and we're still in the throes of that coup.
That's from a little over 3 weeks ago. That video, by the way, that's got nearly 200,000 views on all across our platforms. I forget the exact date. It's probably August 22 or 23. But go back, scroll down at the Rumble channel. Scroll down if you're at trumpetdaily.com and get to part, I believe that's part two of our interview with General Flynn. A rolling coup starting the official start date, January 5, 2017. And right here today, we're still in the throes of the coup. This article from Gingrich, it says, the more you study these various events, the more you realize that there are entire systems and cultures of dedicated totalitarians who recognize that a Trump presidency could be a disaster for their worldview. Their hatred and fear of Donald Trump is not a function of his personality or his tweets. They go on and on about that. In fact, he threatens their view, their goal, their aim to fundamentally transform the United States. They would hate and fear any candidate who was serious about disrupting the patterns of institutional corruption, coercion, and power. They'll do anything. You see, he's a threat to their power, Donald Trump. So that's why they've got to blot him out. That's why they've got to lock him up. That's why they've got to have 4 indictments, 91 felony counts, 700 years in prison, whatever it is that we can do to take him out. It says, behind the movement is a powerful belief system that opposes the American system of constitutional law. It is hostile to American history and patriotic pride, contemptuous of American people and dedicated to seizing power through any means. It's exactly what my father has said in America Under Attack. It opposes the Constitution this America's system of constitutional law. What was it Obama said back in, I think it was 2001? He said he didn't like the constraints that the Constitution had there to kind of limit government and its power. We need a government that imposes its will on the people. He didn't put it that way, but that's what he meant. What the government must do. We don't want a constitution that says the government must not do this. Look at what the New Mexico governor did. She's a good totalitarian. She comes out and says, I'm suspending the Second Amendment. Well, good for the judge that smacked her down yesterday. It's unconstitutional. You can't just come along and say there's no Second Amendment now. That's what happens in banana republics. It says here, there is also a powerful American source for this totalitarian drive to remake America. He goes on and talks about Saul Alinsky and just how Obama and others are disciples of his. Listen to this part. This was so alien to our way of thinking that in 2008, only Sean Hannity understood how deeply radical Obama was. Well, I would take exception with that point. Granted, Sean Hannity is much more visible with his message going out to millions on Fox News and so on. And I would congratulate Hannity because I saw a lot of his programs back in 2008 and 2009. He seemed like the only one, at least on broadcast television, that was willing to vet Obama and warn the country. But we were certainly there in our own way, warning as well. I don't have time to get to all the articles that I brought to you from the Trumpet website in 2008. Yes, 2008. I'll come to that tomorrow if we want to carry on with this same theme. But Gingrich says here, I'm embarrassed to admit that even though I had studied all the major revolutions and had read Alinsky, the concept of an Alinsky disciple pretending to be a pleasant, harmless, normal politician was too wild for me to grasp at the time. That's another way of saying Obama is and was a complete and total fraud. He's a fake. They're all fakes. And yet they're being exposed, aren't they? In this article, he talks about how Hillary Clinton wrote her senior thesis on Saul Alinsky's ideology. Biden came along and realized that, hey, there's millions and millions to be made here for selling out our country. It says here, the Biden investigation will inevitably grow until all the horrors of the corruption, government weaponization, and destruction of the rule of law become known to the American people. Here's someone saying, you know, it's going to be exposed. It's inevitable. Look at all these crimes. It's been going on for decades. It says here, however, it is vital we understand that the Biden family corruption is a small piece of the larger crisis to our constitutional system. We are faced with a totalitarian cancer that will have to be confronted and defeated at every level. The Biden's corruption is merely a symptom. The Biden crime family corruption, that's just a symptom of this sickness that goes head to toe. That's just the tip of the iceberg. They're all involved. They're all connected. It's a communist plot. It's a communist insurrection. It's a communist infiltration. And it was prophesied. That's in He Was Right. If you don't have a copy of that brochure, He Was Right. Make sure that you request that today. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. If you'd like to email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget about my Twitter handle. I'm much, much more active than I used to be on Twitter. You can get to me at Stephen Fleury, Stephen with a PH. So on the Rumble channel, if you're there right now, make sure that you give us the Rumble thumbs up. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. And of course, we'll see you tomorrow.